Hi, I'm Sharon Davis, Chief Executive of Young Enterprise, and welcome to our podcast series, Transforming Futures. I'll be talking with special guests from many different walks of life, all of whom have fascinating life experiences and a shared commitment for helping young people build successful futures. We'll explore how the powerful chemistry of support and opportunity has shaped their own lives, getting individual takes on the skills needed across a range of industry sectors in the future, and what more we can do as a society to help young people build and apply those skills. Now, my guest today is a brilliant alumnus, David Bodu, who's a young entrepreneur from Southwest London who acted on his entrepreneurial aspirations back in 2011, exporting electronic goods from UK to Ghana in West Africa. As a business administration student at Kingston University, David founded 3D Parties, a versatile events company which operates in the children's entertainment sector. But David's best known for founding Vistella. Now, Vistella is a company specialised in the design and production of high visibility and reflective cycling gear. The creators of Firefly, a cycling glove with 3M reflective arrows acting as indicators. Welcome to Transforming Futures, David.
Hello, Sharon. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's really good to see you. I'm so excited to find out more about your journey. The first question is one that we ask all of our guests. At Young Enterprise, we talk about the chemistry of support and opportunity, literally having the power to transform someone's futures. Can you tell us a little bit what that sentence means to you personally?
Absolutely. So personally, I think there's a very strong correlation between support and opportunity. And I actually believe that true support should lead to opportunities. If that's not directly to a specific opportunity, I believe it should prepare people for an opportunity, because I can't help but to think of our example, right? The sliding door moment that came from you, Sharon.
You're going to talk about this, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to touch on that. So, I mean, who would have thought, you know, a random call just seeking support for my launch would lead to such a great opportunity of me being featured on Channel 4. And that just shows, you know, just from your support, that opened a huge door of opportunity for Channel 4, which has had a big impact on my business. So there you have it.
Well, we'll dive into that sliding door moment a little bit later on. But for now, I would love to hear, and I'm sure our listeners would as well, a little bit about Vistella Cycling, how you went about building the company and your journey for doing so. So tell us about Vistella.
Sure. So just as a summary, Vistella is a company that designs and produces reflective cycling gear. And the first product we brought to market is a cycling glove called Firefly, which of course is a cycling glove with 3M reflective arrows acting as indicators. So when cyclists turn left or right at junctions and the headlights from a car shines on the glove, it's like an indicator to make it clear for cyclists' intentions where they're going. So kind of tracing back to where it actually started from King's University. So it was initially a university project, and we had to come up with an idea from scratch. So we thought, okay, what issues are there in society? What can we tackle? And I remember at that point, there were so many news articles about another cyclist being injured at a junction. So that's where the idea came from. And then we entered lots of competitions, you know, coming across Young Enterprise. That was a huge milestone for us. That's where we really, really started taking it seriously.
So you took part in the Young Enterprise startup program, is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
And tell us what happened there then.
Sure. So because we won the initial King's University competition, we went through to the Young Enterprise UK National. So that's where we literally had to prepare a report, a detailed business plan, which helped us to really assess the viability of the business. And then we had to pitch to credible individuals, to different judges. And that was so helpful, because we really had to dissect the business and look at it in a way to see how could this actually survive in the real world. So that was a great experience for us.
And so tell us what happened with Vistella. So obviously you completed the startup program. So what happened between then and now to be in the position you're in?
Yes, great question. It's been quite a tough journey, you know. So after the program, I decided to, okay, let me try and take this business seriously. So it was initially two of us. We said, let's try and progress it. And there were so many hurdles, Sharon, so many stumbling blocks. Firstly, with the manufacturer, you know, one manufacturer saying they would like to do it. And when I would ask them to make some tweaks and changes to the gloves, suddenly they would say, your glove's too complicated. We don't want to do it anymore. We'll find another manufacturer. He will start the process. And again, when I'm striving for excellence and I'm asking for changes, they get to a point where they're like, you know, this is just too complicated. We don't want to do it no more. So there was a big challenge on a manufacturing side. And then we had issues with the team. I had some disagreements. But then one day, I just thought, this is a great idea. I can't let this thing die. It just wasn't leaving me. So I said, let me come back with fresh eyes. So I just started randomly calling different cycling stores, seeing if this product was still relevant. And to my surprise, all the stores I called was still eager. They was like, yeah, let's book a meeting. I would love to find out more about the glove. And then I formed a whole Kickstarter campaign. And in the process of launching that campaign, that's where I met you and reached out to you, Sharon.
So go on to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about that call and what that then led to. Because I remember I was having my tea and my wife always says to me, switch your phone off when you're having your tea. And I didn't. Of course I didn't. And I get this call from this young man who says, oh, is that so-and-so? And I was like, no, it's not. And I'll leave the rest to you.
Yes, what a story, Sharon. I mean, every time I tell this story to people, they're like, really? Did that actually happen? So as I said, I was preparing for my Kickstarter campaign. So, I mean, as you know, the Kickstarter campaign, it takes a lot of work preparing for it. You don't just put a campaign there and you hit your goal. You have to chase up all your previous contacts, all your friends and family, previous organizations. And I remember, of course, Young Enterprise, that the whole competition, the Enterprise program was a pivotal part of the success of the idea initially. So I started looking for previous contacts I had in YE. And I thought I had a number of a previous colleague who worked there, someone called Roy. I thought I had his number. So I said, okay, let me call it. So I called the number, hoping to hear his voice, not only to come across you, Sharon. So when I called you, it was like, is this Roy? He was like, no, this is not Roy. I was like, I'm looking for Roy. And then, you know, you asked me how you could help. I think you said I can send some more information to the info. And I think there was issues with the line. And then I think I said, can I just WhatsApp you and my email? And then we can just go from there. And then something told me just to send you my promotional video on that WhatsApp. So I sent you the promotional video and then you called me back. And then you said, I'm not sure if you know who you're speaking to, but I happen to be the chief executive here and I love your energy and I'd love to help you. So I was like, are you for real? And then, I mean,
well, I have to say your energy that evening was just infectious, and it was infectious and your whole mission for the work that you were doing was incredible. And it was interesting, wasn't it, that literally 2 weeks later, we had an opportunity to showcase great young entrepreneurs, literally 2 weeks later. And then you and I got back in touch, didn't we? And you were then on Steph's Back Lunch.
Exactly. I think you put me in contact with your team. And that led to Steph's Pack Lunch, and that was incredible. I mean, the kind of traction and credibility I've got for the brand from being on that has been remarkable, honestly.
Well, that's testament to you, David. I'm going to come to my next question, which is about superpowers. It's been a really tough journey, and I know you've overcome a number of barriers. You're building some momentum now, which is great, with Vistella. But tell us, if you were to describe the superpowers you would credit to you being where you are on the journey today, what would they be?
I would say there's probably two key ones, Sharon. So firstly, communication and public speaking. I like to think I'm quite strong with that. And, you know, I'm always looking for opportunities to exercise my public speaking and work on my communication skills. Even, you know, coming on this podcast is another way to exercise that. And I remember where I really honed it was preparing for that final pitch, the final Young Enterprise pitch. The amount of effort, the amount of time, you know, polishing the pitch, making sure I'm emphasizing the right words, that really helped to hone that public speaking skill. So that's one, communication and public speaking. I'll say the second one is probably problem solving. As you know, I mean, in business, that is business. It's always problem solving. I think a good way I've honed that is just engaging in the world of business. Literally just realizing that nothing actually goes perfectly according to plan. And you always have to adjust, you always have to pivot, you always have to shift. And there's a quote which I always like to kind of say, and it's a quote by Mike Tyson. It says, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And that emphasizes the fact that it's okay. Like, nothing goes according to how you think is initially going to go. It's how you react after. And just expect unforeseen circumstances to come.
So if we had young people who are watching this or listening to this, what would your advice and counsel be if they were thinking about setting up their own business or becoming an entrepreneur?
So what I'll say is the journey to where you want to get to is never linear. So a lot of people have this concept in their mind that from this idea, from when I have this concept, X, Y, and Z is going to happen, and then I'm going to be a millionaire or whatever goal they have. I've realized that it's okay to understand that there's going to be zigzags, there's going to be shifts, you know, there's going to be different turns. You may even have to make a loophole to come back around to something, and that's okay. And that's actually part of the process. And you learn so much in that process. So don't be disheartened when you get a sudden shock.
I'm going to ask you this question. Have you ever come close to giving up?
Oh, you know, I wouldn't say giving up, Sharon. I've come to a point where I'm like, I don't know where to go from here. But giving up, I've always realized that things can change so quickly. I've realized that one conversation, one phone call, one interaction, you know, maybe inspiration from one movie, anything can change the trajectory of anything. So I've never actually had a mindset that, okay, I'm going to give up. I've kind of maybe put things on a back burner and say, okay, maybe I'll revisit something later on. But I've always had the mindset that, you know, anything can shift, you know.
I have to agree with you there. Because sometimes you feel like you're on a roll, don't you? A couple of weeks where so many things go wrong, but you only need one thing to disrupt that. And that could come at any time. And some of that's about your own energy, isn't it? It's about whether or not you need to keep that safe, get your sleep, whatever it is that just needs to kind of help you see those opportunities where they come. So I just keep going back to that call that we had. You saw that opportunity and you took it and you had the right energy for it. So I absolutely agree about those minutes could happen anywhere. My next question to you really was, I mean, have you got inspiration? Have you got any members of your family that have set up businesses around you, friends, or are you literally that, you know, that first generation entrepreneur within your family and your friends?
Yeah, good question. So I'm actually surrounded by a lot of entrepreneurial minds, Sharon. So my family are quite business orientated. My mum and dad have always been involved in some sort of business. My brother is a software engineer, so he creates apps for different stores. My friends, I have a lot of friends who are in business in different sectors. If that's not selling, you know, unique trainers on eBay, if that's not, you know, creating, you know, some sort of product in it for the NHS, I have different friends who are engaged in different things.
Yeah, because the reason I ask you for that about that is because I look at your bio and your entrepreneurial aspirations started in 2011. So, you know, well, how old would you have been then?
Yeah, so back, I think when I started exporting, you know, moving the electronic goods from UK to Ghana, I must have been around about maybe 15, 16. So I was a teenager then.
So and some of that inspiration will have come from family, seeing family being entrepreneurial and enterprising mindsets. And
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I'm such a big advocate of, you know, surrounding yourself with people with similar mindsets, or with mindsets of the kind of personas and characters of the people you want to be like or where you want to go. You know, in the same way I've known people who have, you know, initially have great business minds, but they've just surrounded themselves with people who wasn't necessarily inspirational, and they've kind of let those dreams die. So I think that's been a key thing for me, you know, a very key thing for me.
And listening to you at Young Enterprise, we talk a lot about next steps and what more opportunities we can provide for young people after they finish the program so that they can continue practicing skills they've learned. Mm. What more do you think we could do in terms of supporting young people with their next steps?
I believe perhaps maybe bringing in more industry experts. I know you do this already, but maybe bringing in more industry experts and helping, maybe connecting the young people to maybe shadow them in their field for maybe a day or an afternoon, just so they can practically see their day-to-day life in the world.
Like supply chains, or, you know, exactly. So they can get different experience with you.
Exactly. And maybe another thing would be maybe, you know, gathering the different alumni from Young Enterprise to maybe put together some sort of support entrepreneur funding pot, to kind of, support entrepreneurs who actually have a viable idea. Because I think I was part of another institution, I think Kingston once done this, where I think they had alumni, again, they put money into a pot and they had like a competition, and they had to submit a report, and the final required a pitch, and the winner would you know, gain access to that funding, and they would release the funding based on when the founder needed the support.
Basically, a startup capital.
Yeah, something like that. Yes.
And that's really interesting, because my next question is really about kind of the UK. Clearly, it's a really challenging time at the minute. You know, cost of living crisis. Lots of entrepreneurs tell me this is exactly the right time to set up and run a business. What more as a country do you think we could do to promote entrepreneurship as a viable career for young people? To think about entrepreneurship as an opportunity for young people as a viable career. What do you think we could do?
Sure, I would say supporting more institutions and organizations that are championing entrepreneurship, because to be honest, I mean, the standard academic curriculum is very surface level, you know, you do have, you know, in sixth form, you know, business studies. But I think, like, charities, for example, like what Young Enterprise done for me, it took this academic project into the real world for me. It was like a vehicle which took this project which was within the walls of university, and it felt like now we were in the real world, you know. And I think that done so much for me. So I'll say definitely supporting charities like that, and just maybe creating more grants, creating more investment opportunities and stuff like that.
It's interesting you mentioned about the curriculum and more opportunities to basically bring in real world challenges, so it's not so surface level. That's really interesting. If I took you back to 15-year-old David, and he was his entrepreneurship, doing his exchange with the electronic goods, what one or two takeaways would you share with him of the journey you've learned along the way that would help him along?
Sure, I would say keep believing in myself. You know, what I believe about myself is more important than what other people believe about me. You know, I think, you know, at a younger age, I mean, I think I did care a lot about what people think. And I think as I've grown, I've realized that sometimes people need to see to believe. And, you know, even learning from, you know, what the recent months and the momentum I've gained from Vistella, you know, when I would say the idea to some people, even family and friends, some, I remember even someone saying to me, David, you kind of need to know when to let go of an idea and things. And it's like, I don't blame them, but I've realized that you have to show people, you know, if you believe in it, follow that conviction, because it's not their fault. Some people, did seeing is believing. They actually need to see you do it before they can believe. That's why it's my vision. It's not their vision. And that's one thing I would say. Another thing is, I don't have to have it all figured out. You know, it's okay to fail forward. You know, every failure leads to more wisdom. Every failure leads to, you know, a success. Every no leads to a yes. So I think those two things would be very helpful for 15-year-old David.
Such wisdom is really inspiring, I have to say. So go on, tell us a little bit. What's next for Vistella? What's the plan for 24, 25?
So I'm so excited for Vistella. I mean, after that, you know, the successful Kickstarter campaign, the focus now is just to get these gloves out into the hands of the customers who've pre-ordered, and get lots of reviews, get them talking about it, get them really feeling the quality, because it really is a great product. And then just releasing the next line. So I have the backpack. I got a prototype for a reflective backpack. I'm going to start working on the jackets. And yeah, really just start pushing it out there and getting it into the hands of the cyclists, and building a cycling community. We're going to do lots of, you know, similar things like this, like a podcast where we'll bring cycling influencers on, maybe cycling instructors to give safety advice to commuters. People are a bit they want to cycle to work, but maybe a bit fearful of the risks, giving advice to them, and just building a strong cycling safety community.
I'm going to ask you about how people find out more about Vistella as my last question. But before I do that, we work with a lot of teachers. We our focus is supporting teachers and working with young people, and we ask them whether they might have some questions for you. And I've got a great one which I might share if that's okay. And my question is, as a teacher, how can we champion behaviours like resilience and job satisfaction for Gen Z?
Good question. I'll probably say, firstly, sharing more examples of people who have failed and turned things around. I think that would be very helpful. I think it's inspiration for all of us. Maybe we've seen someone who've failed, so we can relate to them. Maybe they've messed up in an area, things haven't gone well. So I don't think people share too much about that. Everyone shares and shows and posts the success, but not too many people show, you know, the nitty gritty when things was not going well, when they're trying to hide what's really happening, and then seeing the turnaround, you know, to know there's hope. So that's one thing I would say which can build resilience. And another thing, I'm not sure this is a popular opinion, but not rewarding mediocrity. I think, you know, if something is good, you know, reward it and say it's good. If something is not good, be honest and say, you know, this needs some work. I don't think, you know, everything should be rewarded if it's not worthy, or it shouldn't, it's not deemed a reward. And then when people get out in the real world and they face the reality, they're a bit disheartened.
I'm struck when I listen to you, there's a reoccurring theme about resilience and about kind of really learning from and almost neutralizing failure, using it as feedback, using it as the breadcrumbs to inform the next step.
Yeah.
And listening to you as well, I'm just struck by your passion and your mission for what you're doing. And where does that come from, David? What is it that's driving you? Because it's absolutely compelling.
That's a very hard question to answer. Thank you for that, firstly. So I think of many things. I think my mindset is one thing. I've made a decision, you know, that things can always get better. And, you know, if something is missing, if I don't know something, if I can't achieve something, there's something I can learn or something I can do to gain that skill. I think that's just a mindset. My family are very orientated, business orientated. And also I have a strong faith as well, you know. I'm very strong in my faith. I love God. So I think a combination of all those things, I think really helped make me quite resilient and have a mindset of never giving up.
Well, it is compelling. It absolutely is. And I guess some people might say, well, is there a point where you would say, I have reached the end of the line? Because a lot of people might say, there are some times where you need to kind of say, well, that's enough. I need to just park that and do something else. It's not going to work. Do you know the difference between being so driven and you'll carry on, and knowing the difference between when to kind of turn that energy to another product or another idea?
That's a really good question. That's such a good question, because, you know, even when I'm speaking to friends and, you know, they're kind of saying, what do you think? Should I pursue this or should I not pursue this? I think there's a conviction you have when you've weighed something up. And I think I heard this story once as a influential guy called Ed Milet. I really like him, actually. He's quite inspirational. And he says, how do you know if you should keep pursuing an idea or not? And he says, it's like you have a shelf. And on that shelf, there's different products on that shelf, right? Let's say the different products are different ideas you've had. And sometimes you look at that shelf and everything is at the front first. And then maybe you look away for some time, you get on with life. And when you look back to that shelf, is that product still at the front of the shelf, or has it caught dust and it's gone? Because I've realized some ideas after some time, when you look back, it's like, actually, that was a terrible idea. And that almost that product goes to the back of that shelf. But if there's an idea that is constantly still at the front of that shelf, like shining, looking at you, then it's a sign that you need to pursue it. And that's one thing which really helped me to keep pursuing Vistella. But as you know, you asked a very good question at the beginning. You said, you know, how was the journey from the university project to coming back to it now? And it was throughout the whole process. Even when I was engaged in, you know, business development, and I was, you know, working with the investment bankers in my career at one point, it never left me. There was not a peace. I would always think, what if this product succeeded? What if? And it never left me. And that's how I knew I needed to pursue this product.
And on that note, if someone, as I am, as inspired as I am to find out more about Vistella, how do they go about doing that?
Sure. So you can, of course, follow me on LinkedIn. I'm going to be a lot more active there, posting lots of stuff about the journey, especially once that order comes out, the next batch comes out. It's going to be lots of activity there. Vistella, our website, www.vistellacycling.com. Social media handles is all Vistella Cycling, so you can find us there.
David, sadly, we've come to the end of today's conversation. I could just talk to you for so long. You are a massive inspiration. Thank you for being such a role model, not just for young people, but for us all, really, just on the importance of never giving up, of being resilient, of always waiting for that disruption to happen to that energy or that run of bad luck or whatever it is. You've been a real tonic and a real inspiration for me today. If you'd like to find out more, please do contact David on LinkedIn or Vistella. In the meantime, this is it for this episode of Transforming Futures. Thank you, David.
Thank you so much, Sharon. It's been a pleasure being on.
Now, next week, I'll be speaking with Dr. Patrick Roach, General Secretary of the Teachers Union, NASUWT, who shares a powerful story. A personal story where Patrick himself describes it as a story of second chance, where through further education, he gained the opportunity to be with people who had the time and the courage to say, Patrick, you can be and do anything you want to. Look out for that podcast, which will be available next week.